Sameach, which means joyous festival, which ended today. The last and eighth day of Passover, and that is our main topic for this evening. And we welcome you to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wonderful wife and very best friend, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you. Shalom, saints of God. As my husband just said, this is the eighth day of Passover. And thanks for tuning in to the part five of the spring appointments of our Lord. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider in all areas of our life. And because He lives, we can live forever, if only we believe it. We pray for these recent petitions and the prayers of those listening right now, especially those suffering from severe diseases, and our unsaved loved ones who have the worst disease of all, called unbelief. Bless the teaching tonight. And may it bring a smile to your countenance. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so what about North Korea?
Well, no one's talking very much about it, but the Pentagon is reviewing what to do regarding their latest but failed missile launch. But more importantly is that Kim Un appears to be accelerating his capabilities. But President Trump feels that China will help with more sanctions to minimize North Korea's potential progress of any nuclear ambitions.
Oh, well, how about the mother of all bombs to Afghanistan?
Right, that was definitely a show of our strength to the world. Afghan President Ghani said that they had been close cooperation, so he knew it was happening and felt it was successful in that out of approximately 700, there are 95 less ISIS to deal with. Now, the ex-president Karzai disagreed, calling it an atrocity, which is why, among other betrayals, he is no longer president. We have been fighting in there for 15 years, and currently we have like 8,000 U.S. troops on the ground in Afghanistan.
What about Syria's chemical weapons?
Well, now, I'm not saying that they don't have them, but I think some, along the way, were stolen by the rebels in order to conduct a false flag. You know, there's more intelligent reports that are concluding that Assad did not himself use chemical weapons on who they were actually fighting anyway, the rebel enemies in Idlib. But it's very suspect that the rebels themselves orchestrated the whole fiasco in order to blame it on Assad. And they, of course, want to get rid of him. And it looks quite successful so far. Anyway, remember the first responders named the White Helmets? They had to know they were not dealing with sarin. As I reported last week, due to the careless handling of the patients.
Certainly, you know, they weren't following established protocols.
Right. Also, when I watched Assad's personal news response, my discernment felt that he was telling the truth.
Yeah, it seemed that way to me as well.
Now, remember, the New World Order elite want all kings to bow down to them, which is why the North Korean Kim Un, he's going to have to go, and he will, that I can tell you. And keep in mind, years ago, like around 2012, Assad refused to allow the Sunnis, particularly Saudi Arabia, our ally, build that huge underground pipeline through Syria, but instead gave the okay to Iran.
Yeah, you know, that was a real catalyst.
Uh-huh. I think that was the mother load to speak.
Yep.
Actually, if you do some digging, you can see that our invasion of Iraq was all based on lies as well. Saddam would not be the puppet of the elite. So he's gone. And now they need Syria's land. So learn from history. Don't be fooled. Sectarian strife in Syria has been engineered to provide cover for a war to get a puppet in there for that pipeline from Qatar, so that they can sell oil and gas to Europe, which would economically hurt Russia's exports dramatically. That's why Russia wants Assad to remain. So in 2013, it began. And by the way, up to that point, the Christians were always pretty safe. And in fact, I heard someone about 2 weeks ago testify they wish it could remain under Assad. At least he let them practice their faith. And, of course, don't forget we still have to deal with Iran.
Yeah, you know, Iran is bigger than Syria and North Korea combined.
Yeah, bigger threat.
Yeah, don't overlook them.
Good point.
So, do you have a question or a comment? There are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office, and please be sure to leave a very detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And prayerfully consider tucking in a much-needed gift of love, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which will automatically add your name to our mailing list for news updates and teaching letters.
That's right. Okay, we have covered a lot over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, which thanks to Lou Buckles is all archived on our webpage.
Yes, it is. Okay, a quick synopsis before we discuss the eighth day of Passover. We gave the correct Jewish roots explanation of the preparation day from John 19:31. We also examined a definite Thursday crucifixion with the side being pierced at 3 p.m.
Yeah, which just happens to be the exact time as the killing of the sacrificial lamb.
They took Jesus off the cross just before the high holy day of unleavened bread, which began at sundown. And we also compared the first Passover in Egypt and the remarkable exactness of that as well. Again, Passover is Nisan 14 at sundown. Then on the 15th at sundown began the 7 days of unleavened bread, where no yeast could be eaten or even exist anywhere in the house.
Yeah, the entire house had to be cleaned.
Because?
Leaven, which puffs up, is always a picture of sin.
That's right. So he rose very early Sunday morning on Nisan 17 that year, the Feast of the First Fruits, which is always the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. It's not always the 17th, but it's always the Sunday. And we talked about the washing of the apostles' feet representing a very important typology for New Testament believers. The washing by the water of God's Word for total sanctification, Ephesians 5, which is imperative if you are going into the ministry at any level, as Yeshua said. He could not even use them for service unless they washed in the water of the Word.
That's what the Church of Laodicea is all about.
Right. They are not fully sanctified, but rather lukewarm. Mm-hmm. So he spits them out of his mouth because their service is unfruitful. Honey, can you read Revelation 3:16?
So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth.
Now, this is pertaining to service, not salvation. Mm-hmm. You can be lukewarm, you know, and still be saved. But you're useless to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Many misunderstood or still understand that verse. But let's continue. Another point I want to make is now the Jewish people simply call the whole 8 days the season of Passover to include the 7 days of unleavened bread with the first fruits always the Sunday during the 7 days. Leviticus 23:11.
You know, however, the Feast of First Fruits is just pretty much ignored today by the Jewish people.
Yes. Perhaps because we Christians celebrate it as the resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But many, of course, still use the pagan name of Easter. And adding rabbits, which are unclean animals, in that they chew the cud, Leviticus 11.
Yeah, so that's not a good thing.
No. We also covered how Jesus had to ascend to the Father to present himself as the wave offering of the first fruits of the barley harvest. Remember where Mary Magdalene could not touch him till after that. And that was the custom for the priests. They couldn't be touched. Now later, Jesus encouraged them to touch him because he had done that. He also breathed the Holy Spirit on them and opened their understanding of Scripture. They were now ready to preach with power. We also gave other scriptural examples for being called the first fruits, as in Revelation 14. Again, the first fruits is always on a Sunday and is the scriptural day when they were to begin the counting of the 50 days to Pentecost.
Also always on a Sunday.
Right. So we even talked about the bride's honeymoon having to be for a period of 7.
The number for completion.
Again, we just can't say this enough. This whole series is on shofarministries.net where you can pause and rewind and take it slow. Because I know we go pretty fast to get a lot in a short half hour, which is why I am so glad we have the ability to archive all these mini teachings for you to learn at your leisure right from your home or your local library if needed. But let's get into the eighth and final day of the Passover season, Nisan 22, which is today, actually a high holy day set aside. Actually, this day is when they would long for their Messiah with scripture readings from the prophecies that foretell of his coming as king to set up his kingdom. Now, someone very important in Jesus' life was born on the first day of Passover and therefore circumcised on the last or eighth day.
Now let me see. Who could that be?
Well, I'll give you a hint. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb of Elizabeth, Mary's relative.
Could it be John the Baptist?
Yes. He was born on Passover, Nisan 14, also called the Preparation Day. So how fitting is that? For he would prepare the way of the Lord. About 30 years later, and he was the forerunner who came in the spirit of Elijah. And again, was circumcised on the 22nd, which is also a high holy day. You know, Jesus too was circumcised on the eighth day, as all Jewish boys were. But his was on the Fall Feast of Tabernacles, which would have also been a high holy day as well. So the circumcisions are a type of the blood covenant God and then Jesus made with his people. Oh, by the way, knowing this and counting back 280 days, we can then also conclude that John the Baptist was conceived at Pentecost.
And why not? For he was filled with the Holy Spirit in Elizabeth's womb.
That's right, Luke 1:15. Okay, let me show you how to see it for yourself. All is needed is for you to connect the dots. Hebrew roots are the connectors, just combined with New Testament scripture.
It's really not that difficult.
So, please, just listen attentively, and you shouldn't have a problem seeing this too.
And remember, you can re-listen to this program on shofarministries.net.
Right. Now, I have to say, I have learned a wealth of information by understanding just one verse in the Gospel of Luke that for years I just read it and moved on. Dan, could you please read it? It's Luke 1:5.
Yes. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of
Abijah.
His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
And I have explained this many times before, because knowing this bit of Hebrew roots can tell us when Jesus was born as well. The key words here are of the course, or some use divisions of Abijah.
We all know by now nothing is in Scripture without a purpose. No coincidence.
You think? Okay, so we learn here that John the Baptist's father was of the Levitical priesthood of the family known as Abijah. Therefore, so was John the Baptist. There were 24 families, also called courses, of Levitical priests, and each course served 1 week, twice a year in temple servitude. And they all served during the seasons of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. The family name of Abijah, according to Chronicles 24:10, was the eighth course or week that would begin the first week of the biblical calendar Nisan. God set this up so that those who want to look deeper, as Proverbs 25:2 says we should, remember, God hides things so we can find things? He does that on purpose. And anyway, this is a huge find. So by this knowledge, we know when Zechariah served in the temple, when he received his revelation that Elizabeth would finally conceive and then to name him Yochanan, which is John. So we know that each Levite family served 1 week, twice a year, according to the order that David, directed by God, told them. And three times a year, all the priests would serve during Passover, on Pentecost, and during Tabernacles. Knowing this information, Zechariah would have served the eighth week plus the week of Passover that had been already. And that would be the ninth week of the biblical calendar, which brings you to, guess what? Pentecost. You can get any Hebrew calendar and count 9 weeks beginning in the month of Nisan, and you come to the time of Pentecost, around Sivan 6, when all would serve. But only one could burn the incense, which is a type of prayer. So the priests, they would cast lots to see who could actually have the privilege to burn the incense and conduct the prayers to Yahweh. And surprise, it was Zacharias. He wanted a son so very much, and now he would have a chance to directly, by using the incense, to pray to Yahweh. And you know the story. His prayers were heard, and the angel of the Lord spoke to him that Elizabeth would conceive that same night, because Scripture uses the Greek words metatata in verse 24, which means immediately. Then, 280 days later, brings us to Passover, when he would have been born. It all fits like a glove. It is interesting that a tradition at the Passover meal is to set a special place setting for Elijah and to open the door to welcome him in. Well, didn't Jesus say in Matthew 11 that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah? And in Luke 1:17, Zacharias was told that his son would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So, conception at Pentecost, well, that's exactly what God would do. No doubt about it. He is so exact that it actually makes my head spin at his awesomeness. Now, for you deeper thinkers, and before we read in Luke, let me also add this important nugget. The week of their service in the temple began every Sabbath. They would repeat the same order for the second half of the year, beginning in the seventh month. So again, twice a year, the head of each priestly family would take his turn to serve in the temple. Plus, three more times when they all served at the major festivals. Now, I'm telling you this because the reason we know Luke is referring to the first set or the first half of the biblical year of 24 weeks from Nisan is that Luke would have said in the order of his second division, but he didn't. Instead, Luke said in the order of his division, which always means the first month of the biblical calendar, not the seventh. That's how we know. Now, the other reason we know this is Jesus would not begin his ministry till the age of 30. So his birthday had to be at Tabernacles since he died at Passover. And we know his ministry was 3.5 years. So Luke had to be referring to the first set of weeks beginning in Nisan. Also, we know from Luke that John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. And we will cover this again as we get closer to Tabernacles, of course, the real time of his birth. But let us give you a one-paragraph synopsis. Since we know that week of the year Zacharias served in the temple, we can know that John the Baptist was conceived at Pentecost and born on Passover. And because of that information, we can know Jesus' birth was 6 months later, bringing it to Tabernacles with his incarnation 280 days before that. Yep, during Hanukkah. Actually, on the 8th day of Hanukkah. Now, with all that background, you can read this all yourself in Luke chapter 1. Kind of, you can read the whole thing, but we're going to pick it up actually in verse 23. Because the story goes on that Zacharias questioned the angel, and so therefore he was struck dumb temporarily. But in verse 23 and 24 it says, "So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days," and there's that metatauta, meaning immediately, "his wife Elizabeth conceived." Had to be that Pentecost evening when his temple duties were finished. He probably ran home pretty fast. So Zacharias remained mute until John, and not when John was born, but rather 8 days later, the day of his circumcision, which would have been on the 8th day of Passover season, and more precisely, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Would you have ever thought you could know the exact day that Zacharias would be able to speak again? Yep, it was Nisan 22nd, the day John the Baptist was circumcised, and the High Holy Day. Jews don't even know what happened or why. But now you do. Let's be honest. How many times have you read Luke 1:5 and just skipped over the course of Abijah? Just kept on reading. And circumcision was a very important typology. Way back in Genesis 17, God told Abraham, "Every male among you shall be circumcised, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you for the generations to come. Every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including all males who just live in your household. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." The New Testament, like in Romans 4, explains how today, because of Yeshua, we are under the new covenant of faith through grace, where now our hearts are circumcised. If your heart is not circumcised, you shall be cut off, plain and simple. So, how well do you know your Savior who has paid your debt for sin? Now's the time. He's coming back soon. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I hope you've had a great Passover season and really recognize the reason for it. Till next week, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and pray for your president. Those who love Jerusalem shall prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.